Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news this Tuesday, the 20th of January, 2026. Lots to get involved in. We've had a bit of a drop from David Ornstein around Man United's transfer situation. Hot on the heels of Fabrizio Romano yesterday, there's talk of a transfer snub for Michael Carrick today. We'll also talk about Casemiro. Is he going to stay or is he going to go? There's talk of Ugarte going as well. And a little bit of homework, whether you're watching live or not. Let me know. I mean, if you've got the time, give me your top five. But I'd like to know your top three manager candidates for Manchester United this summer. I saw something that Jamie Carragher was talking about last night. And I would like to know what your thoughts are on that as well later in the show. But let's get into the news this morning that's coming out from David Ornstein and his weekly transfer update. Now, remember, yesterday morning we were talking about Fabrizio Romano saying that Manchester United were going to hold a meeting this week about transfer opportunities, that Michael Carrick would get to have a say. Well, this is what's coming in from the article that David Ornstein is associated with. It says that how much input will Michael Carrick have on transfer plans? United are not planning to make moves in this window, so there won't be much need for him to have a say on immediate business. However, the director of football, Jason Wilcox, would be foolish if he did not speak to someone of Carrick's reputation and standing in the game as a player as well as a coach to discuss what the squad needs going forward. If a long-term target becomes available or a rival makes a play for them, then United will need to act and Carrick would be consulted and asked for his views. The relationship will be similar to the one Amrim had with Wilcox and the rest of the board in that they will discuss transfers together and work on targets. Yet, as Amrim found out in the previous window when he wanted Aston Villa's Ollie Watkins, there will be other names the club feel are better suited to the long-term plans, as it was with the eventual summer signing of Benjamin Sesko. Now, there's a lot more to get into, but I want to just sort of start off with that because I think there's some fascinating detail in there. Also, yes, we will be talking about Ugarte to Ajax as well, if I hadn't mentioned that. I think there's so much to unpack there. First of all, United will not have are not planning to make any moves in this window. I don't like Jason Wilcox. I don't like Omar Berada. I don't like Sir Jim Radcliffe. I don't like the Glazers. Oh, I've spoken negatively about Man United. Stop speaking negatively about Man United. I mean, this is the sort of preposterous nonsense you get from certain people who just want a point score against ex-players at the moment. Now, I know we've had that chat and I'm not going back there, but you can speak negatively about Man United. How you speak negatively is up for grabs, doing it after a win in the derby, you know, talking about someone's height, etc. Of course, there's ways of doing it, but I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I'm so fed up of people talking negatively about Man United. Oh, I think the Glazers are a bunch of twats. Oh, you're negative. I'd love it. I'd love it. Are we going to get people in the chat today? Am I going to get clipped up for social media? Oh, Goldbridge is so negative. You should have heard what you said about the Glazers. Yeah, wake up. The club is in a shit heap, you know, and it has been for a very long time. And just because we've beaten Man City and Carrick did well, I'm not going to forget that. And I don't think we should forget that. Negativity around a club that's been ridiculously negative for a decade ain't a problem here. And these sort of things are why they need calling out, because United are not planning to make moves in this transfer window. From a very good source, it's from David Ornstein. So there won't be much need for them to have a chat with Michael Carrick about immediate business. This openly contradicts what Fabrizio Romano said yesterday, that Man United are going to have a meeting with Michael Carrick about business in January. And now we're hearing that that won't be the case. So look, you know, yes, we beat Manchester City. Yes, we played very well. But those bunch of players are light switch players. They might keep it on for a month. They might switch it off next week. We don't know. What we do know is we need better players at Man United. And the club are sat there going, no, we trust the light switch. Yeah, we're going to stick with this. And that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable, no matter how happy we are about winning the derby. It's not acceptable to say we're not planning to do anything in the January transfer window. And if you ever wanted an example of just how backward thinking this football club is, listen to this bit. If a long-term target becomes available or a rival makes a play for them, then United will need to act. Whoa, hold on a minute. So let's pretend we like Adam Wharton. We're not doing anything in January. No, we're not doing anything. But if Chelsea make a play for him, we might bid. Explain that one to me, because I love this. You know, the club actually leak this shit, and we're meant to swallow it and go, that's fine. I completely agree with that. Yep, we definitely do need a new kitchen, but we're not going to buy one. The neighbours are getting one. Get down Wix. Get down B&Q and get me a fucking kitchen. They are not having a kitchen. It was a joke. They're not having a kitchen. Yeah, we're not having a kitchen either. We're not going to bother. It's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, when you think about it, we need a midfielder. We're not going to do anything in January. But if somebody makes a move for a player that we want, we'll make a move. How do you work that out in your head? What are we supposed to do with that? Because we hear this all the time. We hear it all the time. We're not going to make a move for any target, but if someone else does, we'll make a move. So you're literally happy to publicly say you're not ambitious. You're literally happy to publicly say that, you know, we'll only move if a more ambitious club moves for them. You know, I look at Chelsea, I look at Arsenal, I look at Liverpool, I look at Man City, I look at Newcastle, I look at Spurs. They don't need midfielders. They've got better midfields than us. But if they move for another midfielder, we'll move for something that we need anyway. Madness, absolutely madness. And then the third bit for me was that the relationship with the next manager, whether it be Carrick or whoever, will be similar to Amrin, where Wilcox and the rest of the board will let them discuss targets but won't necessarily listen to them. And it uses the Ollie Watkins example that we're all fully aware of. Now, look, I mean, that's a debate point. Would you rather have gone for Ollie Watkins or Sesko? Isn't the conversation here. The conversation is you have a manager, and it could be Enrique in the summer, it could be Pochettino, it could be Carrick. You have a manager, and this is where I think, again, fans fail, because they go, well, I like Sesko better than Watkins. Fucking Watkins. Don't want fucking Watkins. I wanted Sesko, you know. That's not the point. That's the, you know, moron level conversation. The real conversation is we bring a manager in his first summer transfer window to a club that is broken, and he says, I want an experienced striker. And the club says, no, we're going to give you a learner driver. The manager is then sacked at Christmas. How many missed chances did the learner driver have in Amrim's last two games? Now, I'm not saying Watkins scores those goals, but that's the point I'm making. It's not about Sesko or Watkins, to be honest. I think I said Sesko over Watkins. So, you know, but when you deep it, you're the manager of that football club and you say, I want an experienced striker, and they give you an inexperienced striker, and then you're sacked. That's not going to work. This is like Chelsea. This is like Chelsea. I want this. You're not having it. You're sacked. I want this. You're not having it. You get that. That to me is very, very worrying as well, is that Wilcox, Favell, Berarda, Sir Jim will say to a manager, we know you want that. We're going to give you the opposite. We know you want a midfielder. We're not going to get you one. And that becomes a problem. And this is, you know, I don't want to talk about Amrim anymore. I don't. It's irrelevant. But let's just pretend this summer, what I take away from this, because this has been written today, the relationship for the next manager will be similar to the one Amrim had, where the rest of the board will listen to them, but it doesn't necessarily they'll go with what they want. They'll go what they think is better for the club in the long term. So you could bring in whoever you want in the summer. They could say, I want an experienced striker, and they could get you another kid. That's just, you know, and then these managers get judged. And, you know, we've heard from Mourinho, we've heard from Ollie, we've heard from Van Gaal, we've heard from Ten Hag, and they've all said the same thing. I wanted this, they gave me this. And now I've got millions of pounds in my bank account and I'm not a Man United manager anymore. I don't think this has worked. I don't think it's worked for years. Some people think it's a new strategy at Man United as well, that we are now having a transfer board. Jose Mourinho wanted to sell Martial. Jose Mourinho wanted Perisic. Neither of those things happened. What we, you know, obviously it's very easy on a very basic level to realise that Manchester United are on a cycle, but we're also on a cycle of transfers. I think some people think naively that we've changed our transfer policy because now the manager doesn't have a veto. Well, they never had a fucking veto. They never had a veto because Mourinho didn't. So, you know, we've always acted like this. And this will be problematic on the next manager we want to go for. So, look, very interesting updates there. Essentially, we will not be moving for a transfer in January unless somebody moves for a transfer that we want. We will consult Carrick over the next few weeks and months about issues in the squad. I mean, you could consult bloody me on that. You need another striker, you need wide players, you need two midfielders, and that's just a start. Get on with that. So, look, they should be listening to him. Absolutely, they should be listening to him. Definitely. But I think that with regards to other bits from the story, I want to get in some of your comments as well. We're not talking about the Beckhams. This is Manchester United football news. Also, this was quite interesting around Semenyu. United tried to sign Semenyu from Bournemouth before he went to City, but he was a long-term target and they have priorities in other positions such as midfield. It doesn't make any sense, does it? You know, so we want Semenyu, who is a winger, but we didn't get him, so now we're not going to bother with a winger. We're going to go back to midfielders that we're not actually buying till the summer. It's a mess. To have £65 million in your pocket in January and not spend it is ridiculous. But again, I think what happened there is we weren't going to move. Man City moved, so we moved. So you moved too late and he goes to Man City anyway. Imagine that happened in the next week. Imagine Man City went for Elliot Anderson. I don't think they will, but imagine Man City go for Elliot Anderson because they just want to get the deal done. United then go, yeah, we want you. If you're Elliot Anderson, you go, well, no, you didn't. You've not. You're only speaking to me now because Man City went for me. And, you know, it's a bit like being in a disco, isn't it? And, you know, someone you quite fancy comes up, asks you for a dance, and then someone else that you fancy as well says, well, can I have a dance? You might go, well, I prefer him to her. But you might go, well, actually, they asked me first and I like them. You're only asking me because they've asked me. You know, it's a crap way to do business, in my opinion. Anyway, it also speaks about Casemiro. The Athletic have reported this week that Casemiro can... I've heard about this before. This is an interesting one. The Athletic... Let me just... Actually, before I talk about this, I did mean to put up a poll. Thanks everyone who's watching this morning, by the way. Please do smash a like on the video. So would you keep Casemiro? Very easy. Would you keep Casemiro? Yes or no? Let me know your thoughts on that. So, United done that one. The Athletic reported that the Casemiro get my words out. It's been reported by The Athletic that Casemiro can trigger a one-year extension in his contract if he starts 35 games this season. The 30-year-old Brazilian current deal expires in the summer, but his man of the match display against City at the weekend. Man of the match? Who gave him man of the match? Casemiro, man of the match? No, I don't think so, bro. I mean, he did well, but I don't know anyone who gave him man of the match. Anyway, that's by the by. Despite his deal expires in the summer, and his performance against Man City was his 19th start of the season, and United have got 16 games left. Therefore, it's still possible he could trigger that extension, but he would need to start every game, and that's not a guarantee. He's got to start then. He can't come off the bench. There remains a chance they could renegotiate on new terms, but no talks have taken place yet. Should Casemiro leave, it will put further pressure on United regarding midfield, which we'll talk about in a moment. So, effectively, 35 games he's got to start, 16 games to go, and he started 19. I mean, he's never going to do that then. Never going to do that. Sky gave him man of the match. Sorry. Well, there you go. It's pretty much standard, isn't it? The biggest fall off in sporting history, I think. I'm not worried about this. I actually don't mind. I've seen a lot of people saying, what a stupid contract. What a stupid, stupid clause to put in a contract. But when you think about it, right, we're only going to play 40 games this season, 38 Premier League games, knocked out the Carabao Cup, knocked out the FA Cup. So there's only 40 games. So for him to start 35 out of 40, impossible. On top of that, if we'd been in Europe and we'd done well in the Cups, maybe there's another 15 games. 35 starts out of 55 is still very much more achievable, but that would still represent a good season for him. So I don't mind that type of contract, really. It's dangerous, though, because if he hits that 35 games, it's another year of $350,000 a week, isn't it? So, you know, that'll be the concern. But we don't need to worry about stuff like this. I've seen a few people this morning, you know, oh my God, if Carrick starts him for the next 15 games, that's another $300,000 a week next season. We are a business at Manchester United. Even if we are 3 points off the title in the final game of the season and Casemiro started the previous 14 games, I guarantee you he'd be on the bench and he'd be brought on after 5 minutes. So we won't do that. We will not allow that to happen. We will only keep Casemiro if he renegotiates a new deal. So I wouldn't worry about the 300 or $350,000 a week or whatever it is. And I wouldn't worry about him starting the next 15 games because it just won't happen because we're a business. We just won't start him. And I think it's also unlikely that Casemiro will start the next 15 games, if we're being honest anyway. But we'll find a way to stop that happening. It's more about whether we should negotiate with him in the summer to stay on maybe $200,000 a week. But Casemiro's gone in the summer. Casemiro is gone in the summer. And I'll tell you what I think. Casemiro's gone in the summer for the third time because United, forget Amorim, forget Carrick, forget managers. United have targeted the biggest earners at this football club from day one because we're a business. You know, we sacked half our workforce because we're a business. Rashford was shown the door, not just because... No, I personally think how quickly we got rid of Rashford, I think they told Amorim to get rid of Rashford. I think Amorim was okay doing it, but I think it was part of getting the job. Obviously, getting rid of Antony, getting rid of Sancho. They've been trying to get rid of Casemiro ever since they came in. We've tried to get rid of Casemiro for 2 years, regardless of ability. And apparently they were pushing Bruno out the door in the summer as well. So every one of our biggest earners, I think they're desperate to get the wage bill down to $250,000 a week. Which is wrong, but I think they are. Because if you get rid of Bruno, you get rid of Casemiro, Rashford's already gone, Sancho's gone, there isn't anybody on over $250,000 a week anymore. So I think that is a policy that the club are trying to bring in. And look, I'm not wandering down that road, but you get what you pay for. We have, I think, the fourth biggest wage bill in the Premier League now, and we're nowhere near the top four. Well, we are, but you know what I mean. We're nowhere near the top three. So they won't keep Casemiro. They won't keep Casemiro. Unless Casemiro says, I really love it in Manchester and I'll stay for $150,000 a week, which he won't, because out of contract, he will get, well, he could go to Qatar, he could go to Saudi, he could go to the MLS, he could stay in Europe and he could still get a better deal than we'll offer him. So this will come down to money and Casemiro will go. 69% of you said that Casemiro should go in the summer. 31% are saying he should stay. I'll get rid of him. Oh God, I'm talking negatively again. You can't talk negatively about a club that's been fucking ruined for 20 years. Casemiro just winds me up. Winds me up that people are going, I'm fed up of people talking negatively about Man United. Yeah, we should all be talking positively, shouldn't we? Because everything's bloody great. Beyond the Manchester derby I'm talking about. But the point is, I would get rid of Casemiro. I think he's the definition of a light switch player. If you look at Casemiro, first year really good, second year under Ten Hag, atrocious. Remember that penalty against Coventry? Remember that header to Onana? Absolutely shit. Amorim comes in, okay. No, bad. He was bad at the start. Then he won his place back at the end of last season. Then at the start of this season, really good. Then the internationals are done and he's got his place back in Brazil. Started playing shit again. Then Carrick gets the job, starts playing well again. I think he's a definition of a light switch player. So for me, on that wage, bye-bye. Get rid of him. I think he's got a part to play for the next few months because it's the Willian effect. There's a World Cup and he needs a new contract. So I think we'll get the light switch of Casemiro for the next few months and that's a benefit to us. But then it's goodbye. I mean, imagine if we give him a new contract and the World Cup's over. I think the light switch goes off next season for Casemiro. So I think we keep him, obviously, till the summer and we benefit from the light being on because of the World Cup and the desire to win a new contract. And then we let him go. I think that's the obvious thing to do. Daniel Thompson says, I hope you're well, Mark. Plus the United Stand board goes to Jim. There's a hole in the roof and it's raining. Jim's like, don't worry, it won't flood. Sees Chelsea doing a kitchen extension. Lads called DIY SOS and get the champers. Helps us, Daniel. Casemiro was on my London to Manchester flight last night, says Sam J. There you go. Hope you got a picture. Goldfridge says, I'm starting to warm up to the thoughts of Thomas Tuchel. If we want a legitimate chance at Anderson, having the manager who made him a starter for England might be a difference maker, and he is no nonsense, says Goldfridge. I'm starting to warm up. Sorry, I just got a message from somebody else there. Goldfridge says, I'm starting to warm up to the thoughts of Thomas Tuchel. If we want a legit chance at Anderson, having the manager who made him a starter for England might be a difference maker, and he is no nonsense. I mean, look, that is a good point. That is a very good point. It's a very good point, isn't it? And this is why I think if you're Manchester City or you're Chelsea or you're Real Madrid or whoever wants Elliot Anderson, the play is early. You make that play, don't you? Because if Man United did go for Thomas Tuchel and Thomas Tuchel leaves England to come to Man United and he's got Elliot Anderson with him all summer, maybe he makes the play. Are we that intelligent to do that? Are we that intelligent to do that? I don't know. Also, would it be too late? You'd probably need to be... Elliot Anderson probably wants to sort himself out before the World Cup. Forrester want it to be done after the World Cup because they'll want more money. We've seen that before. The selling club says not till after the World Cup because then they think they can get more money. That could play into our hands as well. It'd be interesting. Interesting theory. Anything true? Any truth around swap deal Siddiqui for Ugarte, says Joshua. So this is the Sunderland lad that we've been linked to before. There is a little bit... Mojo with a big robot picture. Don't know what that's all about. It's somebody on a chair that turns into a robot. Mojo, you're a legend. I hope you're doing well. It's crazy. It's a hippo on a chair and it turns into like a transformer. Wow. Modern technology, eh? We have been linked to Siddiqui at Sunderland, but he only signed in the summer, so nothing will happen in January. I think, Joshua, I read this, and I think you sort of got to compartmentalise the fact of what we're going to do in January and what we're going to do in the summer. I would say Siddiqui from Sunderland in the summer is possible, not in January. The latest on Ugarte is that there is a couple of clubs that would like to loan him in January. Ajax are one. I think it's a Turkish club is another one. But United don't really want to do loan deals because they haven't got a surplus of players this year. Last year, we loaned out Malacia, we loaned out Anthony, we loaned out Rashford because we had a surplus of players. Although, well, we didn't actually really, did we? It was a mistake because Ahmad got injured and then we were really light for wingers, for wide players. But we don't have the midfielders to loan out Ugarte. And the secret midfielder that we're looking at, I wouldn't bring him in for Ugarte. I don't know that he's any better and he's certainly more injury prone. So I don't think we'll let Ugarte go until the summer, if I'm being honest. Good question, though. Owners are invariably representations of hypocrisy, says Amit. Thank you very much, pal. Hope you're doing well this morning. Is a yes man inevitable as the United head coach, says Rajaf? Well, that's why I thought it was really interesting what it said about Carrick and Amorim, and I think it will apply to the next manager. You will have a say on transfers, but you won't have the final say. So if you want a midfielder, you might not get a midfielder. If you want an experienced striker, you might get a striker, but it might be a kid. So that makes it very difficult for, I saw something yesterday. I mean, I want to talk about the manager situation a bit anyway. I want to get your top threes. But I saw something yesterday, and I forget where I say it. They were talking about Enrique and Nagelsmann. And they were saying that very good choices if Man United go for them, but unlikely because they want someone with Premier League experience. And it's this, like, blinkered, you know, there's a whole ocean to look at, but you only look through the microscope for a boat. And you're like... Whoever's looking at the whole ocean can go, there's a boat there, there's a boat there, there's a boat there. But you don't see the boat because you're like this. You're trying to find it through a small hole and, you know, you can't find it. And I think United are like that. We're not buying players over 26, yeah? Just ridiculous. We're not buying in January. Ridiculous. And there's so many examples of United's approach being like this, you know, where it's so, you know, so filtered, when actually you need to look at the whole picture. We should be buying players over 26. We should be using the January transfer window. And I absolutely disagree that they need to have Premier League experience. It's like the people, like I did that video yesterday morning where I said, United need to spend. They need to spend like Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and Man City are spending, and they need to do it quick. And you'll always get, you know, the intelligent Zoom, I'm being sarcastic here, who goes, oh yeah, because that's worked for the last 10 years. We need to stop spending money because it hasn't worked. And you're sort of like, you're biting your own fist. You're going, because it's like saying we shouldn't recruit a Premier League experienced manager because look what happened with Ten Hag and Amrin. Well, that's like saying, you know, I've given up on women. I'm going to start dating men because the last three women I've been out with have been really horrible. Well, there's loads of women out there. Don't give up on women just because you've had three bad dates. And just because you've recruited badly doesn't mean that we don't need to spend money. So how, if we're not going to spend money anymore because we've wasted £1 billion over the last 10 years, what's the way back? Because I know the way back. If I could buy Erling Haaland and I could buy Elliot Anderson and I could buy Mark Gahey and I could buy Semenyu, I think we'd win the league. We'd certainly start building towards winning the league, but that will cost you, well, some of them aren't gettable, but it's going to cost you £500 million, isn't it, to get four players of that quality. But you've got people going, oh, no, we can't keep talking about spending money because we've tried that. No, we haven't tried that. We've just done it wrong. We bought wrong players because we've got morons in charge. If we had a decent director of football and we had a decent CEO, spending money is exactly the right way to go. We have to spend money. And it winds me up when people go, oh, yeah, well, I don't think we should because we've tried that. We haven't tried it. We've done it wrong. And it goes the same with the manager. Are you telling me we're not going to go for Enrique or Nagelsmann because they've got no Premier League experience? Is that real? Because I've heard it a few times. I've heard it a few times from numerous journalists. So are they being briefed? You know, is Laurie Wilcox getting it from the club? I don't know. But I have heard it a few times about how United won't recruit a manager that hasn't got Premier League experience, which is incredible to me. Jurgen Klopp didn't have Premier League experience when he went to Liverpool. Pep Guardiola didn't have Premier League experience when he went to Man City. Arsene Wenger didn't have Premier League experience when he went to Arsenal. Ancelotti didn't have Premier League experience when he went to Chelsea. It's bullshit. It's absolutely bullshit. But again, I think we almost accept this moronic approach to running a football club. We're not buying people over 26. We're just going to buy kids. We're not going to spend in January because we like to spend in the summer. We're not going to bring a manager in unless they've got Premier League experience. So you're telling me Oliver Glasner's a better pick than Luis Enrique? You're telling me that Marco Silva's a better pick than Nagelsmann? It's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. But they put this stuff out there like it's, yeah, we're happy for that to go out. We're happy. And it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Look, I saw an interesting piece with Jamie Carragher last night where it listed off all of the managers that Manchester United could go for. And if I get it here, where was it? There's a lot of candidates. So you've got potential manager candidates who'll be available in the summer. Carlo Ancelotti, Didier Deschamps, Roberto Martinez, Nagelsmann, Pochettino, Tuchel. Then you've got available right now Zidane, Xavi, Southgate, Maresca, Klopp, Xabi Alonso. And then you've got people in clubs that are probably going to go this summer. Iriola's going to leave Bournemouth, Glasner, Marco Silva, Valverde at Athletic. Then you've got De Zerbi, Enrique, Simeone, Cesc Fabregas, and then people like Eddie Howe. So there's some good candidates there. And I went through the list. I looked at that list and I went, you know what? When Sir Alex Ferguson left Manchester United, can you remember this? You should all remember this. I mean, it was, what, 13 years ago? Was it 13 years? Yeah, 13. Oh, God, time flies. I tell you what, I always say this. If somebody told me the day Sir Alex Ferguson walked out onto Old Trafford for the last time that we would never get near a Premier League title, and no, you could go forward to 2026 and United haven't been in a title race, I'd say, what did we do for 13 years then? I mean, that you take yourself back to that moment where Sir Alex Ferguson's on that pitch and somebody says we won't be in a title race for 13 years, and even in 13 years we're not in a title race. I've only gone forward to 2026. You'd go, and then they go, and the Glazers are still in charge. You'd go, what the hell have we been doing for 13 years? Exactly. But anyway, look, when Sir Alex Ferguson left, the greatest manager of all time, the market was rubbish. The manager market was absolutely terrible. And that's why we ended up with David Moyes. It was crap. Mourinho had already committed to Real Madrid. There was just not a manager market there. You look at this summer market, right? They've got to get it right. They've got to get it right. And what worries me about Glinios is when there's an open goal, they Timo Werner it. We've had so many open goals over the last 2 years and they've missed every time. But this manager market is incredible. Now, look, Liverpool might enter it. Real Madrid are definitely in it. Man City might enter it. But Arsenal won't. Chelsea won't. Bayern Munich won't. You know, so there's not that many in it. And even then, go back to that list. Even with Real Madrid in the market, even with Liverpool in the market, even with Man City in the market, you've still got Ancelotti, Nagelsmann, Pochettino, Tuchel, Xavi Alonso, Jurgen Klopp, not for us, Xavi, Zidane, Maresca, Glasner, Iriola, Marco Silva, De Zerbi, Enrique, Simeone, Eddie Howe. I mean, how many managers have I done there? I got past 10. There's a ridiculous amount of managers there in the summer. Almost too many. You can't miss. And you can't go with Carrick. Because if you go with Carrick and you miss out on the dream... You know, this summer market, I've never known it for managers. It's incredible. Somebody just said Chelsea might be in the market. Well, to be honest, it is Chelsea. If Rosinha has a bad couple of months, it could be. But B86 says there's 15 managers there. Exactly. And, you know, my top three from that list, I'll tell you now, in no particular order, Ancelotti, Enrique, and, well, I could do a top five. Ancelotti, Enrique, Tuchel. There's someone I really like that I'm going to miss out on here. Eddie Howe. And I think Nagelsmann. I think those would be my five. Yeah. Ancelotti, Enrique, Eddie Howe, Tuchel, Nagelsmann. I've got five choices. Even if Man City and Real Madrid and Liverpool take one of them, which I don't think they'll go for those five. I've got five choices there. This manager market is wild, absolutely wild. We cannot ignore it to go with Carrick, I don't think. And I'm not being disrespectful to Carrick. I've said, give him 10 games. Let's see where we are in April. I don't even put Carrick in the conversation till April anyway. So for now, he doesn't get the job. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying I don't even consider Carrick until April. So between now and April, I'm like, he can't have the job. If in April we're in a different position, maybe I'll revisit it. But sat here, right here now, with that volume of quality managers available, I'm more concerned about, you know, the bloody idiot asylum and what they're going to come up with. Because they probably look at that list and go, who's the biggest Pinocchio there? You know, who's the biggest lying puppet? Because that's what they need. They need someone to lie to the fans and, you know, who likes to be a puppet. And, you know, I look at that list and I think Gareth Southgate, who else? They need a yes man. They need a yes man, they do. Emperor says, I would like Zidane, Inzaghi or Conte, but we'd probably go for Sebastian Hoeneß or Miguel Menez. I don't think we'll go for a manager like a Ten Hag or an Amorim again. I think if you're going to go for someone who's not got Premier League experience, they've got to be reputationally very, very good. I think, you know, people like Enrique and Nagelsmann. I mean, look, we won't get Enrique, but bloody hell, what a manager, what a guy as well. You know, just a fantastic job he's done at Barcelona and PSG. His style of football is incredible. I agree with KJ. I would throw the bag at Enrique because I just think he's exactly what we need. And I think he plays the best football in the world at the moment. I mean, I put it out on X yesterday. We've had more 0-0 draws in the Premier League this year so far than we had in the entire league last year. And people say there's not a problem. There's a massive problem with the Premier League at the moment. Everybody's playing the same shit. I'd love to bring a manager in like Enrique who plays football that I like, wing play. I'd love it. I'd bloody love it. And I don't think we'll do it, but Enrique actually plays football that is modernistic, but close to United. You know, we love to play with wingers, but the sad thing is, right, if I'm in charge of United or you're in charge of United, you look at Enrique and you go, that's how we want to play. That fits in with how United should play. Let's go and get him. These idiots will go, he's a little bit more intelligent than us. He's won Champions Leagues. Yeah. Imagine him in the boardroom. He'd be ridiculing your haircut, Jason. And it would definitely, we haven't even got any hair, Omar. You know, so it'll be taking the piss out of us. He's going to want to buy wingers. We haven't got enough money for midfielders, let alone wingers. No, cross him off. So we're crossing him off because he's too good. Yeah, put him on the too good pile. Jason, yeah, the too good pile's really big. What have we got on the Muppet pile? Well, Southgate's there and, you know, we're struggling. And I think that's what worries me. We're going to cross people off because they're too good. That's not best in class, though, is it? Because Sir Jim said best in class. Best in class is people like Ancelotti and Enrique and Tuchel. I don't think we'll go near best in class because they'll ridicule us. They'll make us look stupid. I personally think we're going to go something like... I said it to you 3 weeks ago, or was it 2 weeks ago? From our source, Pochettino. But let's wait and see. There's a long way to go. But look, I like Pochettino. I've got no problem with Pochettino. But when you've got a list of Nagelsmann, Tuchel, Enrique, Eddie Howe, Ancelotti, and you end up with Pochettino, it's like the striker market last year when you've got Gyökeres, Osimhen, Ekitike, all those players, and you end up with Wissa. You know, it's not a bad deal, but it's not. I mean, that was basically Newcastle last year. I just described Newcastle's summer transfer window. Daniel Thompson says, they go on about best in class. Now it's time to prove it. Ancelotti, Enrique, Conte, and other good options. We need to go all out. Daniel, the thing that the club can't do is they can't hide behind it's a challenging manager market. It's literally the best market for a manager I've ever known. It's an incredibly, incredibly competitive manager market. And there's so much we could do there. Nearly 11,000 watching this morning. You're absolute legends. Got a bit of exciting news as well. If you like Cooking with Goldbridge, I'm not saying it's coming out this week, but the ingredients are being put together and not just for what I'm cooking. Great show this morning, says Ladios. Yeah, really enjoying it. Josh says, Enrique's such a resilient bloke too. My top three for the job, but will he get the support the squad needs? Look, we all know the trauma that Enrique went through in his personal life. And that shouldn't be a reason to want a manager, and it's not. But I just like Enrique. You know, I just think he's massively... I think you need someone to believe in. You need somebody to believe in. You need someone to trust. You need someone you respect. And Luis Enrique, he would have to want the Man United job, but he's won at Barcelona, he's won at PSG. Man United's Man United. Like, where do you go next? He's been at Barcelona, he's been at PSG, maybe Spain, but has he managed Spain already, actually? I feel like he's managed Spain. I don't think he has. But maybe he'd look at Man United and go, he'll certainly know what Man United is. I remember him playing against Man United. So I just wonder, like, you bring a guy like that in and it's, yeah, we won't do it. We won't do it. He'll end up at Man City, won't he, says Randy, yeah. Patrick Lynch is in the house. Hope you're doing well, Patrick. He says, since Ineos came in, we've not seen the ambition that they touted they would bring. Enrique would show the ambition, but he would need the ambition in the transfer window too. Seems unlikely. Well, yeah, Patrick, check out the video I did yesterday morning. I don't see...
as being able to go for managers like that, because their interview is going to be, I need this amount of money and I need this amount of control. And they're going to go, no, no. When do we get the kitchen tour, says Slazy? Well, you might get to see it if I do Cooking with Goldbridge. That's the point. They go on about best in class. Now it's time to prove it, says Daniel. Enrique is such a resilient bloke. Done that from Josh. My top three. Will he get the support? Horace, Southgate is available too, Marks as Mojo. Well, I try not to talk about Southgate because I'm absolutely convinced they would go there, but many people think they wouldn't. I mean, look, Steve Holland worked with him for 10 years. I would like Zidane, Inzaghi or Conte, says Emperor, but we should have done that one. Wilcox is a cockroach, says Amit. And Premier League experience is not required with the manager. It's about investment and allowing the manager to manage, which we won't do. I never heard such spins as Ray. Well, the reason I mentioned we've had more 0-0 draws in the Premier League this season than we'd had in the entirety of last season is, what is it Manchester United think the Premier League is? Why do you need Premier League experience? I mean, as long as you know how to defend long throw-ins and set pieces, and as long as you're used to people kicking their kickoff to your goalkeeper, and as long as you're used to playing against low blocks, I don't think there's anything ridiculous about the Premier League anymore. I think it used to be a little bit different, but it used to be about intensity and speed. It's not bloody quick now. It's just basically watching one team trying to break down somebody sitting deep and then defending long throw-ins. So I don't see this Premier League hype at the moment anyway. Swap Rashford for Casada, says Keir Robinson. Is it weird that I'm more worried about Fulham than Arsenal, says Jalen. I'm excited about Fulham. I think the way that that's our next home game, isn't it? And the way Old Trafford was on Saturday, I wouldn't fancy being Fulham. I actually do think we'll see a more front foot United with the light switch on for a few weeks. Do you think Bruno will stay next year, says BMF? I think if we're in the Champions League, I think it's 50-50 with Bruno. I think after Amrin went, I thought no. I think after his interview in November, I thought no. But strong end to the season, United get Champions League football, I think there's a chance. Yeah. Luis Enrique or Nagelsmann, says Lucho. Eddie Howe can't win the league with Newcastle. Better squad, so he won't with us. Tuchel falls out with the board in a week. Thank you very much. Mark from the States, but why does Malacia not play? So Stars for the win, because he's shit. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it? He's just shit. I think the fact that he's on our bench is because we don't really have much else. I think De Zerbi ticks all their boxes, and that's the one I would go for. On Casemiro, half the wages, sign him up. Anything more, let him go. Yeah, I think with regards to De Zerbi, I'm going to watch them tomorrow night. Actually, I'm going to watch along tomorrow night. So I'll reserve judgment on De Zerbi. I didn't think De Zerbi was the right choice when we were going to sack Ten Hag. I thought that was a bad choice. You consider that we gave Ten Hag 300 million, and I think he spent it quite well when you think about Mazraoui, you think about Xerxes, you think about De Ligt. The Ugarte deal was apparently Ineos anyway, and I don't think he wanted to do that. It would have worried me giving De Zerbi 300 million pounds. But he is a guy that's used to working under a budget, so I think they quite like him. But he is also quite fiery, De Zerbi. I'll be honest, I'm not a massive fan of De Zerbi. I'm not. It's not an exciting appointment to me. You know, an exciting appointment is Enrique, Ancelotti, Nagelsmann, Tuchel, Conte. You know, again, I'd be reasonably comfortable with, but then you fall into the Glazners, the De Zerbis, the Silvers, the Iriolas, and I just see puppet. To be honest, I don't see charisma. I don't see a way back. I feel like we're heading down the Chelsea route as well when they went towards people like Graham Potter and Maresca. You know, it's sort of like they're not going to win the title for Chelsea. You know they're a placeholder. You know, if we bring De Zerbi in, I think 2 or 3 years and he's getting the sack, but it gets you close to that new stadium. We all know they are not going to get players Enrique wants. It's a waste of time, says Keel. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. And regardless of Bruno's interview, he will stay next season, says Amit. You're at Amit. Can I just warn you again? You're starting to do regular shitty chats. What are we supposed to do with that? Regardless of Bruno's interview, we'll stay next season. You're just pontificating rubbish. It doesn't even mean anything. So Bruno nearly left last summer. He's publicly called the board out. He was very close to Amrin. He's seen another project abandoned. And you think he's going to sit there in the summer and go, yeah, I'll sign up to another project. I think it's 50-50 if we get Champions League football. If we don't get Champions League football, I think he'll go. Brian says, if Bruno were to leave, do you think Enzo Lefebvre from Sunderland is a good replacement? What's your opinion, says Brian. Well, I don't think we can... I'll get yours in a minute, United 77. There's a couple I've got to go back to. I don't think we should just raid Sunderland. You know, there's two Sunderland players we've spoken about there. But Lefebvre was a player, he was a hipster player. Remember when he was a hipster player about 3 years ago? And he has done very well. Dale says, I'll take Carlo in my opinion. He is a class manager. Thank you very much, pal. Appreciate that. And United 777, I'm just trying to find yours. Emperor says, I've done that one there. It's not an 8 o'clock show tonight, no. It is a 7 o'clock show tonight because it's Champions League night. So we will do that. Shane says, the board saying we'll discuss transfers, but we'll pick the cheapest option, Glinios out. Thank you, Shane. Canadian here says, Bran, very worried about Trump invasion. Help us, UK. That's why I avoid politics. Ineos should pay whatever it takes to get Conte. Winner, Premier League experience, disciplinarian, and he can work with any board, I am sure. I like Conte, but too fiery for this board. They won't like it. Unfortunately, when you think about it, when it comes to the next manager, we're not getting best in class. We're getting managers that the board feel they can manipulate. So you can almost scrub out Enrique, Ancelotti, Conte, because they are better than most of the people we're going to look at, but our board will be terrified of them because they're cowards, because they'll get called out. So we're not getting best in class. We're getting what our rubbish board feel they can control. Well, in that sentence, there's the problem. We're going to get a manager that our rubbish, inept board feel they can control. Well, if we've got a rubbish board and they're only going to recruit people they can control, we're going to end up with the wrong person, aren't we? And that will definitely happen. I thought the transfer was just spin before the derby in case we lost, we won, and they think we're all fine again, says River. And Andy Atherton says, without naming the secret midfielder, you believe the target. If the only option is a loan with an obligation to buy, would you do the deal?
No.
You wouldn't do the deal based on obligation to buy, no. Option to buy, just send him back and pretend. But no, you definitely, in my opinion, you wouldn't want to buy this person that we're looking at. If Bruno were to leave, do you think Enzo would have done that one? How much do we get for Xerxes and after Saturday's game? And what does it mean for Sesko and Obi's future if we need a striker with pace, says Jid. Well, Sesko's not slow and neither's Obi. They're learner drivers. They can still become good players. And Sesko, you know, was starting to look a lot better in the last few weeks of Amrim and certainly under Fletcher. So I think Sesko will be fine. But we do need another striker. Now, whether that's going to be Obi or not, I don't know. Slazy says, knowing that the owners and board won't buy the players that the manager want, which of the available managers works best with our current squad? Well, it's a great point, Slazy. As I said, we're not going to get the manager we need because our board won't want to work with them because they'll make them look stupid. So we'll recruit the wrong manager and then we won't give him the players he wants either. So it's a double problem. You don't get the right manager and then you don't give that manager the right players. So how do you be successful when you don't recruit the right manager and then you don't give the manager the right players? This is why we need regime change, because if I was in charge or you were in charge, I'd have a CEO who was the best. I'd have a director of football who was the best, and I'd say to them, recruit the best manager. And if they went and got me Gareth Southgate, I'd say, why didn't you get Enrique? And they go, well, because we think he'd shout at us. You're fired. Luis or Enrique come in. Who do you think the CEO should be? I would get the best in class. And then I'd be like, right, let's get the best players. It's an open goal. You get a manager, a CEO and a director of football who are best in class, and then you go and get the best players you can get. And amazingly, Sir Jim Ratcliffe hasn't done this, even though he said he would. He's ended up with clowns who don't know what they're doing, who now won't appoint a manager who exposes them. And we're back where we were with the Glazers. We had 10 years of this with Ed Woodward and Richard Arnold, who wouldn't recruit people who called them out. Great show this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are back at 2. Obviously, if anything breaks, we'll be back. But it's a 7 o'clock show tonight because we're on the, you know, That's Football for the Champions League for the next couple of nights as well. So join us there. And Arsenal tonight as well. So it'll be interesting to watch Arsenal ahead of Sunday. I want to sort of get some tactical thoughts on how we play. Although I do think... I thought Carragher calling Carrick's tactics a tactical masterclass on Saturday was a little... I mean, I suppose this is what happens if you know, Carragher should know better. I thought it was a brilliant performance, but I don't think it was a tactical masterclass. I think we all saw it when the team came out. Quick strikers to counter from a deep line. Brilliant way to play against Man City, but I would have done it. You would have done it. Where I think I would give Carrick more credit was the speed in which we moved the ball with our passing. There was a lot of one-touch football, which... You know, I think that takes bravery. But I would play the same way against Arsenal, definitely. I don't think it was a masterclass. No. Oh, I'm being negative. I'm not being negative. I don't think it was a masterclass. I think I've seen it multiple times before. I've seen Ollie do it to Man City. I've seen Mourinho do it to Man City. I saw Amrim do it to Man City at the Etihad last year. I think there's a certain way that you play against Man City. I don't think it could be a masterclass when we've seen many other people do it. I thought it was very good. But I think a tactical masterclass to me is where I see something that's, I've never seen that before. I want to see that again against Arsenal. I think it works really well against these teams that want to attack you. Definitely. Someone's just said Thomas Frank's been sacked. We're not falling for that again. It's my birthday. Happy birthday to Hacker. Thank you for all your hard work and great content. Well, thank you for being part of the community, mate. And I hope you have a great, great day. Stay safe, everybody. I'll speak to you in a bit. I'm over on Hot Takes with Terry, actually. I'm meant to be there now, but I'm going to make a cup of tea. So tell him in the chat. I'll speak to you in a minute. Take care.